Welcome to His Great Name, where we hold up and honor the great name of King Yeshua. We're going to continue with our last week's teaching, the Prince of Peace and the Paupers. In our previous talk, we saw that there was a transfer that took place on Calvary between us and Yeshua, and that the story by Mark Twain called The Prince and the Pauper could be viewed as an allegory of what Messiah did for us. Messiah changed places with us and we with him. We gave him our pauper rags and he gave us his royal robes. Messiah took all the judgment and punishment due us because of our sin of disobedience and gave us all the goodness due him because of his obedience. So far in this study, we have looked at four exchanges on Calvary between the Prince of Peace and the paupers, us. Number one, Yeshua took our punishment so we could be forgiven. Isaiah 53 says that the chastisement needful to obtain our peace was laid upon him. Number two, Yeshua took our sin and gave us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Adonai made Yeshua, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Number three, Yeshua took our death and gave us his life. Romans 6:23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. Number four, Yeshua was made a curse so we could receive the blessing. Galatians 3:13 says, Mashiach has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now I'd like to continue with our study today of what was transferred between us and Messiah. The fifth thing that we'd like to look at is Yeshua took our sickness and pains so we could be healed. Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5 says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17 says, When evening came, they brought to Yeshua many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Barnes Notes on the Bible says that the word translated griefs in Isaiah and infirmities in Matthew means properly in the Hebrew and Greek distresses of the body. The word rendered sorrows in Isaiah and sicknesses in Matthew means pain, grief, or anguish of mind. These passages in Isaiah 53 and Matthew 8 therefore mean precisely the same thing. Now we are coming to the season of Yom Kippur, and in Leviticus chapter 16, we see the instructions to the priest for this feast. Verse 7 through 10, He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell, and made it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as the scapegoat. Both of these goats together covered the sins of the people. The one was sacrificed, and the other carried away the sins of the people. This same word for carried in Isaiah 53 is in reference to the scapegoat who carried away the iniquities of Israel. Leviticus 16:22 says, "The goat shall bear, nasa, on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness." Now let's look at the literal meaning of the Hebrew for sorrows, griefs, born, carried, and peace. Sorrows is Strong's number 4341, and the Hebrew translated is makab, which means pain. Brown driver Briggs says it's physical and mental pain. Griefs is Strong's number 2483, and the Hebrew translation is chala, which means affliction, disease, illness, sickness. Brown driver Briggs says it's sickness, disease, incurable disease. Born, B-O-R-N-E, Strong's number 5445, and the Hebrew translation is sabal, to bear. Brown driver Briggs says to bear a heavy load or a heavy burden. Carried is Strong's number 5375, which is the Hebrew translation of nasa, lifted, which we mentioned before. Brown driver Briggs says it's lift, carry, take, to carry away. Peace, or shalom, is Strong's number 7965. And the brown driver Briggs means soundness in body, completeness, welfare, health, prosperity. Now there was a man named Isaac Lesser who lived in 1806 to 1868, and he was a leading figure among the American Jews during the 1840s and 50s. He was born in Germany and came to America at the age of 17. He devoted himself to educational projects, and he became a prominent writer and publisher of Jewish books. His 24 books of the Holy Scripture is a revision of the King James Version, and it was authorized for use by the Orthodox Jew. So let's follow Rabbi Isaac Lesser's translation of Isaiah 53. "He was despised and shunned by men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease, and as one who hid his face from us. From us was he despised, and we esteemed him not. But only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried, while we indeed esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and through his bruises was healing granted for us." Verse 10, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him through disease. When now his soul hath bought the trespass offering, then he shall see his seed live many days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Now the following that I'm going to read here is the Jewish Publication Society, the Hebrew English Tanakh, published in 1917. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 4. He was despised, shunned by men, a man of suffering, familiar with disease, as one who hid his face from us. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Yet it was our sickness he was bearing, our suffering that he endured. We accounted him plagued, smitten, and afflicted of God. Verses 10 through 11. But the Lord chose to crush him by disease, that if he made himself an offering for guilt, he might see his offspring and have long life, and that through him the Lord's purpose might prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see it, he shall enjoy it till the full through his devotion. Here's another translation from Dr. Robert Young. He was a Hebrew and Greek scholar, and he is the author of Young's Analytical Concordance to the Bible. He translates this passage, "And he is despised and left of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sicknesses. And as one hiding the face from us, he is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he has carried away. Yet we did esteem him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. He is pierced for our transgressions, he is bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. And Jehovah hath delighted to bruise him, he hath made him sick. If his soul doth make an offering for guilt, he seeth seed, he prolongeth days, and the pleasure of Jehovah in his hand doth prosper. Of the labor of his soul he doth see, he is satisfied. Through his knowledge give righteousness, does the righteous one, my servant, to many, and their iniquities doth bear." Here's another one, Rotherham's translation, the Emphasized Bible. "Despised was he and forsaken of men, a man of pains and familiar with sicknesses. Yea, like one from whom the face is hidden, despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet surely our sicknesses he carried, and as for our pains, he bare the burden of them. But we accounted him stricken, smitten of God, and humbled." Verse 10, "Yet Yahweh purposed to bruise him. He laid on him sickness. If his soul became an offering for guilt, he shall see a seed. He shall prolong his days, and the purpose of Yahweh in his hand shall prosper." Now we can see through the multitude of these translations that these scriptures are about physical healing for us. Some have tried to say that this is a spiritual healing, but we know that it is a literal physical healing and not spiritual, because the inward spiritual man is not healed. He's born from above. He's a new creation. Peter wrote in his second epistle, "Whom our sins himself did he bear in his own body upon the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Not only did Yeshua take away our sins, he took away the consequences of our sins, which was sickness and disease. Were is past tense. If we were healed, then we are healed. Same thing. If we were saved, then we are saved. All we need to do is accept the gifts of salvation and physical healing obtained for us by Yeshua and given to us. Yeshua bought and paid for the gift of this in his own body. Sin and sickness has transferred from me to Yeshua. Salvation and health has passed from Yeshua to me. Yeshua took our sickness and pain so we could be healed. Number 6. Yeshua took our shame and gave us his honor. When they took Messiah to the place of execution, they stripped him totally naked. Yeshua submitted to extreme shame, embarrassment, and humiliation, for he hung there naked for all those hours, gazed on by a mocking crowd. At the Passover meal, he had humbled himself when he laid aside his garments and washed the disciples' feet. But now he humbles himself yet more, being clothed only with shame. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I believe shame is a feeling that says, I'm not really fit to meet people. I'm no good. I can't really look people in the face. So we turn away our face from them and hide our eyes. My understanding is that there are two ways shame comes. One is by public humiliation, maybe in a school setting. Someone gives a wrong answer or was caught talking out of turn, so they were made to sit in front of the class where the class could make fun of them. The other way shame comes, and I don't mean to be indelicate, but sometimes we have suffered secret things in our lives, like physical or sexual abuse, especially in childhood, and that we can't talk about it to anybody because we feel so ashamed. There was a woman that I knew years ago who told me she had suffered such abuse from a family member and had a really hard time trusting people or accepting their friendship, much less love from anyone, even love from God. She was at a prayer meeting, and she recounts that the Holy Spirit told her to tell the people there about it and ask for prayer. She said out of 13 or 14 women at the meeting, 8 told her that they had also suffered such abuse. And how beautifully they ministered to her the love of God. She was set free from the shame and was able to receive love from God and from others. You see, Yeshua wants to heal and restore us even in our deepest, most hurtful places, especially in our deepest and most hurtful places. You can tell Messiah about it. Actually, he already knows, but he wants you to bring it to him so he can set you free. He understands, and you will not shock him. You see, he endured that awful shame and humiliation so you could go and be set free and be healed. Isaiah 53 says, men hid their faces. They were ashamed to look at Yeshua. They could not bear to look at him. They turned their faces away. But the outcome was Isaiah 61:7. Instead of shame, you shall have a double portion of honor. Instead of shame and embarrassment, you shall have honor and joy. Why? Because Yeshua took that shame and embarrassment from you on the cross, and he gives you his honor. Remember, the word for sorrows is Strong Numbers 43:41, Macog, pain. And that Brown Driver Briggs says it's both physical and mental pain. Yeshua loves you like no other. He suffered shame so you could go free from it. You see, a death by crucifixion was designed to expose the person to the maximum amount of humiliation and open shame. There was nothing more embarrassing and shameful than public nakedness, and he was put on a cross for all to see. He endured that for you. He endured that for me. He endured it for all of us. Yeshua gives you his honor in exchange for your shame. Yeshua covers you with his royal robes. Number 7, Yeshua was rejected so we could be accepted. I think the most painful of all the emotional wounds is rejection, and especially rejection by your father. It can really be emotionally crippling. The love of a father, excuse me, gives a child total security. And without it, without the love of a father, a child grows up very insecure. You can also suffer rejection at school by kids in childhood. Maybe they've said you're different, or you're geeky, or your clothes aren't nice enough. You know how kids are. Rejection makes you feel that you're not good enough. Others can have a good time, but you mostly stay in the corner because you really feel like you don't fit in. You want to fit in, but some invisible barrier prevents it. That's a fear of rejection caused by rejection. John 1:11 says Yeshua came to his own people, and his own people rejected him. And many are still rejecting him today, over 2,000 years later. Once again, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I do know from my own life experiences. My father did not want me, and it was not until I supernaturally met God as my father that I was able to be delivered from a spirit of rejection and know that I was truly loved. You know, the name Yeshua came to reveal to us was Father. He came to fully reveal the Father to us. And the ultimate wound he received on the cross was rejection by his Father. Yeshua did not die of all the wounds he received before he was nailed to that cross. He did not die from the crucifixion itself. He died of a broken heart from the rejection of his Father, from whom he had never been separated. When Yeshua was made sin, his Father turned his face away, for a holy, righteous God cannot look upon sin. And at that moment, Yeshua cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the ultimate wound he received, rejection by his Father. So Yeshua was rejected so we could be accepted. Now let's review what the Prince of Peace has exchanged with us, the paupers. Yeshua took our punishment so we could be forgiven. Yeshua took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Yeshua took our death and gave us his life. Yeshua was made a curse so we could receive the blessing. Yeshua took our sickness and pain so we could be healed. Yeshua took our shame and gave us his honor. Yeshua was rejected so we can be accepted. I would like to close again with these beautiful words by Charles Wesley. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Well, thank you for listening. I hope these teachings have been helpful to you. We'd sure like to hear from you. Our email is To His Great Name, and that's the number 2, not T-O or T-W-O, it's the number 2, To His Great Name at gmail.com. We'll continue next week. Shavuot Tov, and remember, be blessed and not stressed. Shalom!